Days. The Great Plays series of the National Broadcasting Company presents Prologue to Glory. Your enjoyment of the Great Plays series may have been greatly enhanced by the Listener's Aid published through the cooperation of the University Press of Columbia University in New York, which so many of you have already acquired. Listen at the end of this program to learn how you may obtain a copy of the Great Plays Drama Guide containing complete information about this series. It will serve as a permanent record and reference work. Today's great play, the last in the current series, was written by E.P. Kunkel and was first produced professionally on Broadway in 1938 by the Federal Theater Project. Prologue to Glory as a play is not primarily concerned with details of historical accuracy. It attempts rather to be true to the spirit of the times and to its central character, Abraham Lincoln. The scene is laid in and around New Salem, Illinois, in the year 1831. Abe Lincoln was then in his early 20s and had already left the farm to take a job as storekeeper for Denton Offutt in the little town of New Salem. Well, one winter evening, Lincoln was in the store reading to his friend Dave.
Oh, admirable man. Oh, great preceptor of his country. No wonder everybody loved him who, by his unwearied attention to the public good, manifested the tenderest love for everybody. No wonder his country delighted to honor him. Since the day God created man on the earth, none ever displayed the power of industry more signally than did George Washington.
Oh, Abe, I don't see how you can sit hour after hour with your nose into a book. Them things you read is all big fibs, Abe.
They're mighty good fibs, Dave. Most of the things a fellow wants to know is in books.
Don't you never wish you had nothing?
Not much. Only to read, maybe.
Don't you never have no hankering to go on down the pike to see what's on the other side?
Well, I know a lot of things that's there. I can learn them reading. I never seen Washington or heard tell of him till I got this book. You can sit right here and learn things without moving your little finger, Dave.
Now, here comes Mrs. Hankins, Abe. I'll just go on back.
It's such a day, ain't it, Lincoln?
Snow's getting thick and heavy. What can I get for you, Mrs. Hankins?
I didn't justly come to buy anything. I come to see, would you write a letter home for me? I can't write, and William ain't able to, and little Carrie's going to larning school from Master Graham, but she can't touch hand to paper yet.
Well, I'd be mighty proud to write, Mrs. Hankins.
People tell me you was such a good writer, so willing to help a person out.
Where'd you want it to go, Mrs. Hankins?
Mistress Beulah Cullen, nigh Harrisonburg in Pennsylvania. She's my daughter.
Oh. Well, you tell me what you want to say, and I'll write it out in full tonight and mail it tomorrow.
Just tell her, me and William ain't heard from her in many a fortnight. The last we heard, Thaddeus, her man, was tucked down with the milk sick.
Milk sick?
Yes. Maybe she's tucked with it. Maybe she's gone.
I lost my ma with milk sick. There was no doctor, no preacher to lay her poor head down.
The Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away.
Amen.
Tell her, me and William have been having a parcel of trouble with Thomas. But it will pass when Thomas gets married. That William is in good health and tolerable spirits. That William's crops are good and that we all look forward to the hour when we shall meet, whether it be on this side of the river or t'other.
All right. You reckon that'll be all?
Yes. I was wondering if you could make it sound like the beautiful letter you writ for Patrick O'Keefe to his ma. I know Patrick never could have thought of them things himself.
I'd be mighty pleased to do whatever I can, Mrs. Hankins.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good night.
Well, you're mighty welcome, Mrs. Hankins. Good night.
Good evening,
Liz. Get darn cold. Getting colder.
Yeah, how do, Abe? Yeah. We start the evening session now. We're here.
Hey, I've done made a new rule for this here store.
Yeah,
you fellas stay out of that Cracker Barrel. 3/4 gone already, and I ain't sold but 1 pound.
Where do you suppose them crackers went to, Bert?
Search me?
What with off of drinking up the profits, and you fellas eating us out of house and home, this here store's coming to a pretty pass.
Now, Abe, I wouldn't have come here if it wasn't for you.
Why, we gets better entertainment here than we does home.
My woman says you're an Abe Lincoln witty woman.
Well, is all of us stiddy loafers here?
Yeah, session's ready to begin.
That's set.
Well, Abe, come on over. Let's begin.
What's that there barrel stave for, Abe?
It's for the next fella that dips into them crackers.
Hey, here's your drunken partner, Abe.
Hey, you fellas. Come on back and try him a new keg of rum. Have you heard? I took an Abe in and made him a partner. Took him in on a wave of prosperity. Come on, fellas. Abe, did you order them goods?
Yeah. They sent a letter back saying they want money.
Money? Them sons of Satan can take our credit. There ain't no money out here but wildcat money. You know that.
Well, I ain't seen none.
I give you credit, you give me credit, and Potter and Slinkers give us credit. That's the way business is carried on. Come on, let's celebrate. Abe takes care of the details, and I go out and boom up the catawallop and off it concerns.
Drunk again.
It didn't put your head on the chopping block, did he, Abe, making you a half-partner?
Well, Dave, these improvements they've been talking of, land going up and settlers coming in, maybe we can make a go of it.
Well, maybe. I hear some customers coming. We better go on back, fellas.
Hey, why can't we just sit here?
Well, evening, Aunt Polly.
Good evening, Abe.
Evening, Aunt.
Evening.
Howdy, Squire.
Evening, Abe.
And I want a shilling's worth of sugar. Come on out tomorrow, Abe. Bolin and me's been married going on 40 years. Yeah. Going to celebrate life.
I'd be mighty happy to, Aunt Polly. A shilling's worth of sugar, you say? Mm.
Can I weigh it out, Abe?
I reckon you can do just about anything around here you care to, Aunt.
Abe, Myrtle's little boy's been deviling his pa to make him a sailing boat like you made him. I guess we're going to have to put his duds together and ship him in here to you.
Hey, well, you fetch him in, Aunt Polly. I'll make a regular merchant prince out of him.
Like Offit?
No, you won't, Mother. Touchy-touch.
Yeah, that boy's going to be a lawyer. Lawyers are amongst God's giftedest critters. Now, Abe...
Hurry with the sugar. Boland's set to talking law with him.
Say, Squire, I've been thinking of that Ohio case you set me on to. You know, them two fellas running a ferry.
What did you figure out?
Well, I figured that if the steamboat was on the Indiana side and the feller come from Indiana, he wasn't encroaching no Ohio license, and the Ohio fellas didn't have a leg to stand on.
That's what I figured, too. The Ohio fellas didn't like it none, neither. Blast take me, Abe. You got a genuine legal mind like mine. Say, you let up on this Shakespeare business and go over to Athens and get that set of Blackstone that Daniel Smithers has got. It ain't but a 32-mile walk.
Bolin, come along.
The law's a noble profession, Abe. Keeping people at peace with themselves.
Bolin?
Yes, Polly. Say, Abe.
Well, take care.
Thank you, Uncle. Good night, Squire. Well, Ann, what can I do for you this fine evening? I got a brand new layout of Crocs and horseshoe chawing tobacco.
Abe, Henry Arnstadt asked me to see if you would debate at the forum meeting tomorrow night. It will be a grand chance for you. Mary's going, and so am I. All we girls.
What's the debate on?
Which is more valuable, the bee or the ant? Henry Arnstadt has lots of books to look into, so you have to be on your mettle.
Well, Henry'd be what you'd call having a right smart head start.
Well, he'll need it to stand against you. You'll do it, won't you?
Oh, I reckon not. I ain't smart enough.
Smart enough? You're sure you're not just too lazy, Abe?
Well, I ain't got no right to go about telling people which is the most valuable, the bee or the ant. I've done enough thinking on that subject, nor any other, to get up before people and talk.
If it was telling a story to your cronies, I guess you could do it.
They're kind of my own people, Aunt.
Of course, it's no business of mine, but you could talk as well as David or Henry. An ambitious young man has got to make his mark in oratory nowadays.
Well, maybe.
Do you mean to tell me you intend to stay in this store all your livelong life?
Oh, I never much thunk anything else, Aunt. If a fella can get along without fighting.
Well, you never hear a Rutledge man say that, Abe Lincoln. He'd get out and try to get some independence and respect. He'd try and get some refinement about him, Abe.
Oh, I've had some etiquette lessons, Ann.
Oh, it isn't that, Abe.
I know I'm rough, but there's so many things I want to learn. I know there's places a lot better than around here. I've read about them. But all my life, I've never seen a nicer store than this one. And being clerk here is two notches higher than any situation my pa ever had. Everybody here thinks I'm doing first rate. I began to think so myself till you come along and set a charge of gunpowder under me.
I wasn't aiming to.
Ann?
Yes, Abe?
Set some more under me.
Well, if you were a Rutledge, my father would be asking you about now. Just what do you figure on doing for a living, Abe? You're reading and studying all the time. What do you expect to be?
I read because I like to, Ann. I don't read for much purpose, just for guess and by gosh. I just like reading.
Did you ever think of getting married, Abe?
I sort of calculated, too, someday, Ann.
Well, why should any girl marry you in this state of poverty, Abe?
Well, I don't rightly know, Ann.
What would there be? What would her future be?
Kind of hog and hominy at the present writing.
Abe, you're not even keeping the store well.
No, Ann.
Going in debt. Broke. If you were my brother, I'd say you'd have to stop the sitting in the sun and shade just satisfied with yourself.
Hey, you make things sound plague serious. Well, I always kind of took it for granted the Lord would take care of his goats as well as his sheep.
Now, don't depend too much on the Lord, Abe.
Well, Ann, if you'll just tell me what I ought to do and be...
You're all right, Abe. It's just, well, you could be so much more. Sitting here with no ambition, satisfied... Oh, sakes of mercy, why am I talking like this to you?
I was wondering that same thing, Ann.
Where's my grammar book? I'm sure I fetched
it. I reckon this is it. English grammar in familiar lectures accompanied by a compendium embracing a new systematic order of parsing by Samuel Kirkham. I've been through this old book 47 times, Ann. What are you on now?
On phrases.
A phrase is an assemblage of words not constituting an entire proposition, but performing a distinct office in the structure of a sentence or another phrase.
Oh, that's fine, Abe. Mary Cameron and I have been trying to learn that for 3 days now. Oh, you're not angry with me for what I said tonight, Abe?
I reckon not. It was the God's truth.
And you'll talk tomorrow night at the meeting?
You want that I should?
Oh, I think you ought to. They need someone in there to get them talking sense, Abe. Talking about bees and ants.
Yes. Yeah, there is so much else to talk about. The land are growing around us. People's minds opening up. Not knowing what to think, what laws to make. All the politicians talking of national problems and internal improvement. Building things. Why we could dredge that plague-gone Sangamon River
and... That's good, Abe. You go tell them that.
I guess maybe I will, Ann.
How do you feel, Abe?
Like a row of pumpkins, Ann. Pretty close to earth.
Have you got your points all down?
I don't know whether they're down or up. Ann, I'm sure starting something tonight.
What is it?
I don't know just yet.
I can't wait.
You never hear tell of the fella lit a fuse the keg of powder he was setting on to see what had happened?
You're going to wrestle somebody, Abe?
Not like you think.
How you feel, Abe?
Doctor, do you know what Abe's got up his sleeve?
Giving a big speech, ain't you, Abe?
I reckon so.
Oh, sakes alive, a person would think it was something important.
Well, you can begin the fracas now. I'm here.
You folks all take seats, please. Ladies and gentlemen, the New Salem Forum Society is happy to welcome you as guests.
Hey, shut that door!
In this open meeting, we will try not only to entertain you, but also to enlighten you. We're here tonight to listen to a debate. As you probably know, the Society tries always to discuss questions being discussed all over the country. The subject for tonight's debate is... Resolve that bees are more valuable than ants. Ladies and gentlemen, we are fortunate in having Henry Onstott, who has debated before us many times, to open the question. Mr. Onstott.
Mr. Chairman, the subject for debate has been given. I shall not go into a definition of terms, as I believe it is sufficiently understood that the bee... in general, is a member of the superfamily Apoides, and the ant is only a hymenopterous member of the family Formicodea. I am happy to have for my task the defense of the bee. Not that it is the more easy to defend, but it is my heartfelt conviction that the bee is the more useful animal.
Just what I told you, Luke.
Hence, can I argue from genuine conviction? Hence, is my argument won already?
Raise the hand! Hooray!
Order, please! Order.
Let these interruptions cease, please! I wish to base my argument on three main points. Nature has given the bee one primal function, to pollinate the flower. See his busy body fluttering from flower to flower, collecting nectar and pollen and aiding the plant to propagate. What would the world be without flowers? Hence, without bees. Hence, without a second generation. Hence, barrenness. Barrenness everywhere. The material value of this function of the bee is alone enormous. The apple crop, pollinated solely by bees in Asbury County, Maine, was 1,740 pounds 10 years ago. Need I go further into this? Need I?
Need he?
Order, please. Order. Order.
Which brings me to my second main point. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that the bee is the sole maker of honey?
No.
What would this vile world be without honey? The Bible speaks of it. Witness it. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in it. The value of the honey crop in Sudsburyshire for the year 1823 was 85 pounds, 3 shillings, 8 pence. May I ask, can the ant produce anything of similar value? Can my opponent produce anything of similar value? Can my opponent measure his ant up to my bee in there or in any other respects? Yet, I have one more point.
Well, sharpen her, Henry.
The lessons which the bee teaches us are inestimable. Hour on hour, he labors to store away for the winter. The blizzard is on him, but his honey is in the comb. Let us go and do likewise. Let us emulate his social structure, his queen, his mason bees, his workers who store his honey. Each bee has his work. Each bee does his work.
That's right.
Let us study his life. Let us go to him and learn. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter who you be or whom or where you be or of what intelligence, it must appear to you that the bee is much more valuable than the ant. First, he fertilizes. Second, he gives honey. Third, he shows how we should live. Can there be any doubt in your mind?
Order! Order, please.
No, there's no doubt. I hereby challenge the negative to fetch forward a single main point he can stand upon, unimpeached. Ladies and gentlemen, the positive rests.
And now I am happy to introduce a young man who needs no introduction. Abe Lincoln. Who will uphold the negative.
Hooray!
Come on, Abe.
Thank you, David. Ladies and gentlemen, I've done most of my public speaking on stumps for the benefit of God's green forest and Tom Lincoln's tater rose. So I probably won't show up very bright again and eloquent polished speaker like the Honorable Positive. I should like to add my praises to theirs, though, Henry, for the able manner in which you handled them bees without getting stung. Now, one of the subjects that appears to be bothering this forum club is whether bees are more valuable than ants. It wouldn't take me long to point out a few important functions of the ant if I was a mind to. It is well known that he has moderate intelligence and lives in just as ordered a society as the bee. His commerce and trade abound. I've not got any books to prove it, but I maintain an ant can lift many times its own weight and could, if he was a mind to, outrun, out-wrestle, and out-argue Henry and me both.
Order, please.
But more important than all these, Ants are known to have better sense and more of it than to stand arguing on such sniveling subjects as we are. Ants ain't akin bees. Both of them are valuable and have their God-given purposes, folks. Mr. Speaker, it doesn't worry me a continental which is more valuable so long as each keeps into his proper place. Now, if Henry's bees was to get into your bonnets or my aunt's was to get into your britches, that'd be a subject for discussion and immediate action. I'm sorry, but I can't imbibe of the same high seriousness for this subject as my opponent. It seems to me that the subjects for debate before this forum ought to be alive. Subjects for action, useful for living. The things we hear, the decisions we arrive at, ought to be helpful to us. The Lord knows there are plenty of problems here with us folks in Illinois.
Right. Mr. Speaker, the gentleman is beside the point of this debate.
Abe, will you please keep to the subject?
Put him out! Yeah.
Order here! You fellas, hold your taters now. Hold your taters. I'll fetch the subject back to ants or bust a hamstring. Now, folks, I've had some long talks with several ants along the Sangamon River. You know what they told me? Well, they said if they was us, they'd do something about those bends in the river that keep the steamboat Talisman from coming up from St. Louis, that keep New Salem from sending its goods to a market in St. Louis and New Orleans. We've got the land, the pastures, the crops. All we need is a market to sell in, an outlet. Right. We could raise our crops, and the Broad River would carry them to market and fetch us back sugar and iron and furniture. Yes, right. Things we can't raise or otherwise get. Ladies and gentlemen, what I propose to you tonight is...
Order, please.
Now, if there seems to be no connection twixt what I have to say and the subject under discussion...
Go to her, Abe!
Let Abe give his proposition.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll sit down as soon as you let me say what I've come here to say. And the upshot of my whole speech here tonight is that by my own initiative and through the offices of my kind friends, I want to take this opportunity hereby and forthwith to announce myself as candidate for Sangamon County to the legislature of the state of Illinois. I do wish to announce my platform as one of local reform and internal development. As the politicians say, I am especially interested in the development of waterways and the natural resources of Sangamon County and its marketing. I am, ladies and gentlemen, further... done, I reckon.
Did you know Abe was going to do that, Bill?
No, indeed. Yes. Abe sure cooked Henry's goose. I'm going to tell the other fellas. Abe's a-running, and so am I.
Hey, fellas, wait for me.
Running again, the Democrats. Got his nerve, hasn't he?
Well, I'll vote for him.
Well, them long legs is more for sitting than just for sitting, I'll tell you.
A fine speaker in spite of it all.
Yeah, the world can't beat him.
What's your platform standing on, Abe?
The Quig, I reckon.
Oh, good Lord. You haven't got a ghost of a chance, sir. Not a ghost.
This'll bring Abe prominently before the people. Do him a lot of good.
Did you know about this, Doctor?
Sort of, Ann.
Abe, you bit off a big hunk. Old Pete Cartwright's a good man.
Well, if I lose, it ain't going to be because I never tried.
Oh, tutty-tut, Abe. Never say a word to me, you scallywag, did you?
Looks like you might fetch this side of the county.
Well, we got to be going home, Bowling. Yeah. Good night, Abe.
Good night,
Coming,
Polly.
Mrs. Rutley.
Coming home, daughter.
Yes, Father.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Oh, it was perfect, Abe.
Oh, now, Ann.
Well, you sure have started something. Phew.
You're not disappointed at my going Whig, Ann?
Well, take some mercy, yes.
Well, Doc Allen, the squire, and all the people but your folks, it's what they stand for, Ann.
I know, Abe.
You coming home, Ann?
Yes.
I reckon I'm like the fella got on the Texas steer. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm on my way.
Well, it takes my breath away. You're sure you're feeling all right, Abe?
Well, it doesn't seem much like a Lincoln to start a thing like this. Everything inside me was saying, Lord sakes, Abe, sit down. Why'd you ever stir up this mess? If Tom Lincoln could see me now, he'd not know his boy. But it was right interesting standing up there watching people think this way and that.
I feel powerful better doing this. Thanks to you, Ann.
Oh, no, Abe.
Ann, we're waiting.
In a minute, Father.
I wonder, Ann.
Yes?
Could I fetch you home, Ann?
Oh, it wouldn't seem like a Lincoln to start such a thing as that either, would it?
Well, I suppose not.
You can fetch me, Abe.
Oh, thanks, Ann. I wish my pa could see me now. Hello, Granny.
Come on in and sit.
Thank you, Granny.
Well, hey, Bree, don't you think you're something now? All trigged out like a brand new breast pin.
Well, it's time I was kind of slicking up, ain't it, Granny?
Ann won't be out for a spell. Oh, and don't think I don't know what you come for. Ann's a mighty fine gal. She's been baking corn pone with sugar molasses for sweetening. Just for me.
I reckon Ann's a mighty tarnal fine gal, Granny. You reckon she'll be out directly? Yeah. Dave Vance is waiting for me.
I reckon so. Abray.
Yeah, Granny?
What come of that Offutt feller?
I guess he just kind of sauntered off, Granny.
Gone off and left New Salem for good?
I reckon so.
Gone and left you with all them store debts, the colonel was saying. Mm-hmm. Been a blessing if he took down with a milksick. Almost.
I guess I couldn't wish that onto nobody, Granny.
Abray.
Yes, Granny?
Know what I'd like particular?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Ann and the plagued lectioneering can just wait till you read some Bible to Granny Rutledge. Well, what'll it be today, eh?
Well, I reckon I'll just do your mite from Job, Granny.
No one recites like you, Abray. Plain and tolerable.
Let's see now. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job.
Ah, yes.
And that man was perfect and upright. Ah. And one that feared God and turned away from evil.
Yes.
And his substance was 7,000 sheep and 500 yoke of oxen and a frog. Huh? And the frog, desirous of equaling the ox, swelled herself. She swole and swole. And her son cried out, "Though you bust, mother, you will never exceed the ox." But when she'd swoled a third time, she bust.
Are that in there, Abram?
Why, of course, Granny. And his sons went and held a feast in the house, and they sent for the three sisters. And the sultan awoke and found himself on the royal couch, with attendants kissing the ground before him, upon which he beheld a pavilion, whose walls were adorned with gold. And he saw lighted lamps, and female slaves, and more female slaves, whereat he cried, "By Allah, either I am dreaming or this is paradise."
Abray Lincoln,
hey,
you...
Granny, don't hit me with that cane. But I did kind of fool you, didn't I, Granny?
Well, I heard the Bible read many times, but I knowed I never heard things like that in it before. Sakes alive. Anne can have you. Sakes alive. Abray, you sure had me going plumb galley west.
You ain't mad, are you, Granny?
Lost. No. You'll just get that spindle bed of mine for that.
If and I get Ann first.
Well, you won't get her less than you ask her, that's sure. Well, I'll go see what's keeping her.
Thank you, Granny.
Shall I tell Ann you got something extra special to say to her today? Ann!
Yes, Granny?
Avery's out here waiting for you.
Oh, thank you, Granny. She's here already. Oh.
Howdy, Ann.
Howdy, Abe.
How are you?
I'm just grand. So you're off to the wars, Abe.
Yeah? I'm talking over toward Antioch tonight and then around over east.
Did you get a horse?
No, I'm riding with Dave Vance a piece and then I'll traipse on alone.
How does it feel to be nearly elected to something, Abe? The Honorable Abe Lincoln.
Oh, no, Ann, sit down, be still. I'll probably not really get it.
Oh, with that brand new white cambric shirt on, Abe, you can't help it. Oh, isn't it a grand day? Let's run someplace, Abe.
Run?
Well, fly then, down to Memphis. I've always wanted to see the cotton fields and songs.
And sometimes that ain't such a happy sight, Anne. The darkies don't always sing.
And they'll be dancing on the street, Abe, for you when you're elected.
Oh, now, Anne.
Oh, come on, Abe, let's dance. Da 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 da.
Oh, for Lord's sake, can you? You know I can't dance one step on top of another.
Oh, try it, Abe. Da 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 da.
It's no use. I can't do it. Oh, for Lord's sake, Anne, stop it.
Oh, you're a very handsome fellow, Squire Lincoln, and you may get a seat in the councils of the war. But you haven't any way with the gal. I'm going to have to take you in hand. Why, Mary Cameron says you stare at her. She's afraid you'll step on her toes when she comes in to buy muslin. Can't help it. Oh, isn't it a grand day? Let's run someplace, Abe.
Run?
Well, fly then, down to Memphis. I've always wanted to see the cotton fields and songs.
And sometimes that ain't such a happy sight, Anne. The darkies don't always sing.
And they'll be dancing on the street, Abe, for you when you're elected.
Oh, now, Anne.
Oh, come on, Abe, let's dance.
Oh, for Lord's sake, can you? You know I can't dance one step on top of another.
Oh, try it, Abe.
It's no use. I can't do it. Oh, for Lord's sake, Anne, stop it.
Oh, you're a very handsome fellow, Squire Lincoln, and you may get a seat in the councils of the war. But you haven't any way with the gal. I'm going to have to take you in hand. Why, Mary Cameron says you stare at her. She's afraid you'll step on her toes when she comes in to buy muslin.
Are you afeard of me, Anne?
Oh, yes, terribly.
Oh, plague, take it all, Anne. Anne, will you marry me?
Marry you, Abe?
I reckon so. I mean, will you? Oh, Anne, I reckon I love you past any mortal love.
Do you, Abe?
Yeah. I've got no right to hope nor expect anything, but I do. I can't help it. I've tried, and I just can't.
Yes, Abe?
I know I've got no work now. The store is gone. Off it's gone. Debts. So all I can do nowadays is to keep body and soul together. Ain't much to look at, I know.
You're not speaking very well for yourself, are you, Abe?
I reckon I'd be a good walking delegate for a long spell of bad weather, Anne. Of course, I might win the election. I've thought everything out as clear as I could. Folks seem to like to hear me talk, but you can't tell nary thing how they'll vote, though. Wish I knew. I've thought of going on blacksmithing if I don't get it. I've never known a blacksmith that died of starvation, did you, Anne?
No.
And there you are. And they're always good storytellers, too.
Well, that's a lot, Abe.
I've thought of surveying. Then there's law. Well, every now and then I get money for writing contracts and deeds. Bolin wants me to take up the law, and, well, I guess I could make a little pin money working at harvest, whip sawing out coffins and such like, Anne. So's you could have a falderall now and then.
A falderall, Abe?
Yes. Like for your hair, or a breast pin for your dress, or a poke of sweets.
I never use falderalls, though, Abe.
Well, you could have some when we're married, Anne.
Yes, Abe?
I've undertaken to write you a snatch of poetry. I just want you to know before I light out, I think muchly of you.
Well, read it to me, Abe.
I don't know whether I can. Well, time, what a empty vapor 'tis, and days how swift they are, swift as an Indian arrow, fly on like a shooting star.
Go on, Abe.
The present moment just is here, then slides away in haste, that we can never say they're ours, but only say they're past.
Boy, that's lovely, Abe.
It's for you, Anne.
It doesn't say much about love, but it's lovely. I'll put it in my scrapbook. A remembrance of a lovely day.
Thanks, Anne.
You know, Abe, once I thought I shouldn't marry you.
You knew I was going to ask you?
Well, every other young fellow here has, Abe.
Oh.
No? Once I thought I'd not marry you. I thought I'd let Mary Cameron have you. You know, I was engaged once.
Yes, I knew that, Anne.
He went east. You didn't write.
Yes, I know.
Oh, I wanted you to know. Because I like you, Abe. Muchly. I never thought of the poverty, the debts.
Oh, and will you marry me? I can't go on without you.
Oh, I like you, you gangling fellow.
Will you?
If it would make you happy.
Oh, Anne.
Yes, Abe. I think perhaps I will.
Oh, doggone, Anne. I'm
I'm busting. I'm plumb busting. Whoa, hooray!
For goodness sakes, Abe, you have the whole town over here.
Let them come. I want to tell them we're going to be married. I'm going out to win this election for you, Ann. I'm going to make a big thing out of it. I'm going to put steamboats on the wide breast of this river.
Dave, you coming?
Oh, that's Dave. He's been waiting. I'm coming. Where's my hat?
Here it is, Abe. Have you plumb lost your mind, boy?
I reckon so, Ann. Let me lose it just this once. I'm going to sit on the seat of the Almighty and consult with the Lord, Ann.
Goodbye, Abe, dear. I hope you will.
Goodbye, Ann. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Dreams of mercy never ceasing, call for grace.
Wonder there ain't someone giving a speech around here today.
Heard Uncle Pete Cartwright was in these parts.
Yeah, so we heard. Thought he'd be.
Hitting off pretty lively for an old fella, ain't he?
Always been an enemy of gambling and high lying, ain't he?
Hear this Lincoln air is pretty strong down New Salem way.
Yeah, any man running against old Hickory and the Democrats ain't got no chance.
Well, my folks, writ, Lincoln's got a chance in them parts.
We need a strong fella here. No string bean upstart.
Carries about a good of possum grease to soft soap people.
Hey, you men, come here.
Huh?
I don't want no fooling.
What's the matter?
What's up, George?
Well, Judge Higgins is down to my place with his fellow Lincoln. Heard there was a sale here today, so he came up to speak.
Run him out on a rail.
What's he doing down there?
Looking over my new lightning rod. Us Democrats have got to take care of this fella.
Don't make yourself sick worrying about it.
Say, George, how much is that highfalutin lightning rod set you back?
Oh, shut up. I'm getting tired of hearing about that rod. It don't make no difference how much it costs. But I can tell you this. If Cartwright ain't elected, it's going to cost you fellows a plenty.
Oh,
now, the plan is, the party is going to make offices for 15 or 20 men around here when it gets in.
Hmm?
Old Pete don't know that, but I do. And you fellows do now.
Look, fellas, here comes something.
Yeah, that's him, Lincoln.
Looks like the running gears of a katydid.
What's he got there whittling?
Danged if I can make it out.
Might say he was a feller to be looked up to.
He stand out like the hind giants of a Kansas grasshopper.
listen to what he's saying.
Well, you fellas remember what I told you.
Oh, Hickory's a good fella, Judge, but I can't make up my mind to see no one at Washington that's been mixed up in brawls and duels and killed, slashed, and clawed various American citizens.
That's right.
A wig, all right.
What's he playing around with?
But I ain't so much interested in that. Our party's got to get under local improvements. That's where our success lays.
I reckon maybe so. Gentlemen, this is Abe Lincoln from down New Salem way.
Howdy.
Howdy, gents.
Howdy. How do?
Stranger, what you think you got there?
Show 'em, Abe.
Oh, this cane traption I'm whittling?
What you call her?
She's a boat.
A boat?
You gents never seen one like this before?
Don't recollect ever.
Well, what's these here doofaddles down here?
Well, you see these long flicky doodles?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you hook two bellas to them below the waterline.
Oh, down here?
Yeah. Your boat is sailing along like a chip on a lake when she comes to a shoal. Well, what do you do?
I don't know.
Well, what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, you just fill these here bellas with air, and they raise up your boat, and she floats over the shoal.
Do tell. Sure that'll work, Lincoln?
Sure. Are you sure about that?
Well, I'm not sure, but she sounds good, don't she?
Say, you're thinking of getting this contraption patented?
I'm thinking some of it. When I get her whittled out and dressed up.
Know how to go about it?
No.
Well, I think he could tell you.
I could tell you if I was a mind to.
You must be the only fella in the country who knows how.
Well, I am. Silas invented a triggin' to break the hind wheels of a buggy. I'd got it patented if there hadn't been 25 wheel breakers before Silas.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure. Well, you think there are any more gadgets like this one?
Don't hardly think so. Say, Lincoln, you come over to my place for supper tonight, and I'll show you a trigging that I... By George, I plumb forgot myself.
Howdy, stranger.
I ain't no stranger. I live here.
Oh, I reckon you're Mr. Voorhees.
This is George, Abe.
I'm the head of the Democratic Party around here.
I thought I used to hear you being a Whig once, Mr. Voorhees.
Well, that don't make no difference now. I got better sense since then.
I was inspecting your new lightning rod as I come past.
It don't need as much inspecting as much as that party of yours does.
Well, maybe not, but...
You're against Andy Jackson, and I...
Now, Mr. Voorhees, I ain't so much against Jackson as I am for the people of Sangamon County here.
What do you mean?
I'd like to tell you, gentlemen, in a few words, with your kind permission.
Oh, let the fella talk. Don't look like he could make much of a dent.
You're out after Pete Cartwright's votes. Now, we got no use.
No, I'm only after a few of my own. I'm one of you men. I know what you have to put up with here. I guess I could do a lot of good besides helping you in the legislature down there.
You're a Whig, by gad. You're a Henry Clay Whig. How do you stand on this secession question, fella? What's your stand on slavery? What about log rolling?
Now, fellow citizens.
You're a young demagogue, and you're going to be took down. Now, I'm running the politics in this precinct, and I don't need no upstart of barging in here telling me my business. You look here, Lincoln.
Mr. Voorhees has said that I'm a young man that should be taken down.
This territory here is mine.
It is for you men, not for him to say whether I'm up or down.
You stop this, Lincoln, I warn you.
I desire to live, and I desire place and distinction. But I would rather die now than like the gentleman here live to see the day that I would change my politics for an office worth $3,000 a year, and then feel compelled to erect a lightning rod to protect a guilty conscience from the wrath of an offended God.
Can't do it! You can't talk to me about
this. Go on.
We'll tell you what he said tomorrow.
Gentlemen, there are three ideas I want to stand before you on. Internal improvements, a lower rate of usury, and a better system of education. On the former, I believe these handbills will give you my ideas how the poorest counties can be benefited by the opening of good roads and the clearing of navigable streams like our Sangamon. Mm-hmm. On the next, I may say that the practice of loaning money at exorbitant rates of interest is a baneful practice and as harmful to the interests of the community as a tax of several thousand dollars for the benefit of a few people. I propose to introduce a law fixing the limits of usury. On the subject of education, I should like to say that I view it as one of the most important subjects in which we can engage. That every individual may receive at least a moderate education, and thereby be enabled to read the histories of his own and other countries, that they may duly appreciate the values of our free institutions, is of vital importance. To say nothing of the blessings to be derived from all being able to read the scriptures and other works of religious, education, or moral nature. As modesty should always attend youth, it is probable that I've already been more forward than becomes me. But every man is said to have his own ambition. I've got no other so great as that of being truly esteemed by my fellow men, by rendering myself worthy of that esteem. I was born 22 years ago last February.
Yeah?
And these years have been spent in the most humble walks of life. As I have no wealthy or popular relations to recommend me, I throw my case entirely upon the independent voters. If elected, I shall be unremitting in my labors to serve you. But if your wisdom dictates to keep me in the background, I am too familiar with disappointments to be very much chagrined. Thank you.
A good fellow, Bigani.
Knows more than all the rest of them put together. Yeah.
George made a mistake when he allowed that fellow to come here.
Well, I ought to be gone, Judge. I'm walking over to Athens Township for nightfall.
You've done yourself a good turn here, Abe.
Count on my vote, Lincoln. That'll balance one of George's 10.
You'll find a lot of opposition. A Democrat's a born Democrat 3 generations back up here.
Yes, you think it's going to rain, Lincoln? Notice you're carrying an umbrella.
When I left home a month ago, I reckoned it might happen to. It's not rained a drop yet, but I still got hope.
Hey, you fellas here of an Abe Lincoln?
Right over there.
Dave, what's up?
Milk sick. It struck New Salem, Abe. It's pretty bad there. People coming down every night. When I left a couple of days ago, 3 was taken dead. Abe, the little girl...
Ann?
I was coming to that.
She's not bad.
Yeah, she's taken pretty bad, Abe. She was calling for you to come home.
Why, I've got to go then. Now. Miss Anne, Mrs. Rutledge.
She's sleeping now, Abe.
Yes.
Come in.
I'm sorry your daughter's under the weather, Colonel. Thought I'd visit. Howdy, Granny.
Howdy.
Mrs. Rutledge.
How do you do?
Yes. Milk sick, Mr. Smith. Abe, this is Frank Smith, our new neighbor.
Howdy, Lincoln. Milk sick, eh? Well, they call it the trembles where I come from. Suppose you've tried Bart's and Jollop and Bone Set Tea.
We've tried everything. Everything.
Oh. Yeah, you're reading a mighty fine book there, Granny.
No finer ever writ, Mr. Smith.
We grow in love and arrive at grace abounding.
Amen.
Say, young fella, you must have plenty of gumption to run again old Pete Cartwright.
Yeah.
Now, how do you stand on the slavery question, Lincoln?
I ain't been thinking much about slavery lately, Mr. Smith.
No? Well, you're a politician, ain't you? These are abolitionists say that the slaves ought to be set free, and then...
I reckon no one's got more sympathy for the sore oppressed than me. But we can't afford to make up our minds till we know the facts. Southerners would stand to lose millions if they were freed. Seems to me whether slavery is or is not wrong depends on whether the slave is or is not a man. I think... I don't rightly care to talk about it now, Mr. Smith.
Your sweetheart, maybe.
Yes.
Good night, Colonel.
Good night. Good sleep.
Good night, Granny.
Good night.
Good night, Mrs. Rutledge.
Good night.
Good night, Lincoln.
Good night.
Doc hasn't come yet.
No. He's probably not back from Decatur yet.
What if they don't have any calomel over there, John?
Oh, they're sure to have it at Renshaw's.
I've got your supper set out, Abe. Can't you go in and try to eat a bite?
Ain't much hungry, Mrs. Rutledge.
We must keep our own strength, Abe. Come, Father. I think you should close the shutter tight in Anne's room.
All right, Mother dear, come on.
Granny.
Yes, Avery.
Inspector Calamore will help her.
Maybe. Maybe only the dear Jesus can do that now, Avery.
But she seemed better this afternoon, Granny. She even wanted me to tell her a story, and it can't be that... She was even sitting up in bed, Granny, and I told her the story about little Bud, and she laughed.
It lingers. Lingers. She's a brave little soldier, Avery, but she's mighty bad sick. You might as well know that. I laid 5 of my own away with the trembles. They was all bright little critters.
If we could do something.
Maybe you'd better get a mite of sleep. I can sit up. I can walk.
I can't sleep. I can't eat. I can't do nothing.
She loved the spicewood fire. I've seen her set here by it for hours in a little pinafore, singing, mending.
They can't carry her off now. In her young years, when she's just beginning to live.
They took little Robbie.
We'd only begun to know our love, to plan things out in the years, to realize it. And now this, all going.
They took little Mercy.
Waiting, helpless and waiting. If a man could only rise up and do something.
Oh, such bright little critters.
I went through something like this once before. Someone you love, standing helpless, waiting. I sat day by day reading more parts of the Bible she liked best. On the 6th day she called me to her bed. Talked of many strange things, principalities and powers. Things present, things to come. She urged me and my sister Sarah always to walk in the paths of goodness and truth. Told us many things would come to him that served God. And the best way to serve him was to serve his people. She was among the lowliest of mankind. She walked the earth with her poor feet in the dust, but her head in the stars. Pa took me down into the woods to make her a coffin. Pa was sawing. I was hammering the pegs in. The hammer dropped at my feet. It was like someone was driving them into my heart. It's just going through all that again now.
Yes, Avery.
How much does the Lord require of a man? Oh, Doc, you've got the calomel?
Yes, Abe, I got it. How's she been?
Sleeping. They're in there with her. Doc, you got to do something.
I'll do all I can do. Evening, Granny.
Evening, Doc. It's coming. It's coming. Avery, come throw on another log. It's getting cold in here.
Cold. Doc, she's better. She's only a little tired. She's
mighty tired, Abe.
She'll get well.
It's only a matter of minutes. She was calling you, Abe.
Me?
Yes. Go on in.
They took little Ronnie. They took little Mercy.
I'll just be out here in the kitchen, Granny.
Oh, dear God, be with us in our hour of need. Keep her precious unto thee until we shall meet in the sweet by and by. Sustain us who are afflicted, that we may be more like thee in thy hour.
I guess we've got to bear these things like men, Abe.
Bear these things like men. I've got to feel it like a man first.
And you know how you enjoyed going around speaking, moving people's minds? You've got a useful life ahead of you, Abe, if you'll just make it useful.
There's nothing I want to do now. Nothing ahead. You can't have a light like her come and lose it without everything going black before your eyes, Aunt Polly. I've made a failure at everything I've laid hands to.
Tut-tut, Abe. You're just a-starting.
That's right, Abe.
Starting. She showed me my power and strength. And she's gone. I've got no wish to go on. I'm just tired of all this law and everything.
Well, I don't want to torment you, Abe. I just want you to come to peace of mind.
You want me to forget. To go on, to be brave. What is bravery?
Well... Now, Blackstone says...
It's mostly to hold up your head amongst men. Spite of adversity, yeah. Abe.
All I can think is she ought to be living now. It can't be right for a good God to do a thing like this. To take one so promising.
Maybe her good work was done, Abe.
Done? How could her work be done? She was only beginning to live. Why, she... Never to see her smile no more.
Hey, don't you think there's area hereafter, Abe?
I'm afeard I can't. It's awful to think that when we die, that's the end of us. That's what hurts. That's why I want to get away from it all.
Well, I won't trouble you no more, Abe. This is something a person must feel. We've all got to carry out our earthly destiny as best we can.
Destiny?
Oh, gosh almighty, boy.
Young fella of your age and with your book learning ought to use it. You got a practical slant on things. You got a good parcel of humor. You got the strength to do things.
You mustn't forget, Abe. Anne wouldn't be very proud of you moping about and cursing the Lord.
Yes, I reckon maybe she'd not be very proud.
An ambitious young man has got to make his mark in oratory nowadays. My father would be asking, just what do you figure on doing for a living, Abe? What do you expect to be? Oh, you're all right, Abe. It's just, well, you could be so much more. Oh, sakes of mercy. Why am I talking like this to you?
I was wondering that same thing, Anne.
What's that, Abe?
Oh, I was just wondering. I reckon I ought to try and live the way she'd want me to, Aunt Polly. Yes, I reckon I ought to.
And so we conclude Prologue to Glory by E.P. Conkle. And in doing so, we bring to a close this current series of great plays. The adaptation of today's play for radio was made by Richard Marinus. The special music was composed by Tom Bennett, with the orchestra conducted by Joseph Haunty. Abe Lincoln was played by Wesley Addy, and Anne Rutledge was played by Colleen Ward. In order that you may recapture some of the moments you've enjoyed while listening to this series of great plays, and to have as a permanent record the summaries of the plots, sketches of the authors' lives, and pertinent facts about each of the 30 plays which have been presented, we suggest that you write for a copy of the Great Plays Drama Guide by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series. Send 25 cents in coin or money.